Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Is everybody ready for Christmas? There's only two more shopping days left. I've been asking that question at work, you know, when people come in, I'm like, oh, are you ready for Christmas? And I'd say about 98% of the people said no. And every one of them said, I still have shopping left. So I'm one of those people, I mean, I like to think about Christmas and why we give gifts and what gifts are and the meaning of Christmas. You know, some of the questions I ask myself, am I one that likes to receive or am I one that likes to give? And you can ask that question, are you a receiver or are you a giver? You know? So when I was thinking about Christmas and gifts, and especially with this last season of Black Friday, and I was amazed that people actually camped outside the door of some of these places to get good deals. And I was wondering, how much do you really save? And is it worth the time? Is it worth the sacrifice just so you can get that gift for the one you love? Or is it more the sacrifice to pay full price for the same gift for the one you love? Is it the value of the time that you spent, or is it the value of the price? Is it the idea that you don't have to feel guilty receiving this nice gift because I stayed up all night and saved you $300 and I didn't have to pay full price? Do you get stressed out when you go shopping? Or are you one of those people that just love to go shopping? And whatever happened to that phrase, it was the thought that counts. Here's a quote from Chuck Swindoll. It says, it's not the gift, it's the thought behind it. You've heard that before. Well, these two brothers put a lot of thought in the giving of a pair of pants they gave back and forth to each other every Christmas. First, the pants were tied to a car wheel and run over snow and ice, then removed from the wheel, wrapped in a lovely box, and presented it at Christmas time. When the other brother got it, then the next Christmas, he placed those same pants in the form of where there was wet cement and was poured on it and allowed it to dry. They were presented that year along with a sledgehammer. To the next year, they were placed in the frame of a small tool shed, and the entire shed had to be ripped apart in order to get to the pants. Now, the next year, the same old, sorry, miserable pair of pants sat in front seat of a car, which was demolished, compressed into a flattened piece of metal. It took a tractor and crowbars to get the same pair of pants out. Again, it wasn't the gift. It was the fun and the joy of giving it. End quote there. So I was thinking about it. You know, what is a gift? If we were to think about a gift, I just kind of brought this here as a gift. Christmas. Is there something tangible inside a gift that represents Christmas? You know, and I think about, is it Christ, the child, the nativity scene, the manger, the star? You know, we can think of it, but it is objective. It is something. But is it something that we can actually put in a box and give it? And I was thinking about gifts too, is it okay to re-gift? There. So when I was thinking when I was a kid, my only income that I had was my birthday money. And sometimes I got gifts for, or I got money for good grades, which wasn't that much, but I didn't get allowance. And because my birthday was December, it was always close to Christmas. So what I received was my budget for Christmas. It was amazing in how much $20 would spend for four sisters, a mom and a dad and a grandmother. And when I received the money, it was never for what I could buy for myself. It was always what I could spend on others. And I never had a penny left. It was amazing on how I budgeted that money for what I can give. And I was so happy I could do that. It was amazing on how things have changed. I didn't have that first thought because I just had a birthday. And when I did receive some money. But my thought wasn't, oh, I can use this to buy something for my wife or something to buy for somebody else. It was like, oh, I can pay this bill or put it towards this bill. And I was thinking about how sad that is. Now, I have all these responsibilities that seem to affect my giving. Now that I have a job and I work or I earn for my money, it seems a lot harder to give it up. Well, it makes me think of what a gift is. Some seem like it's sacrificial, and some seem to be superficial. And is it wrong to re-gift? Because isn't sometimes money giving, and then you use that money to buy something else? But what is Christmas all about? And I know you're probably all familiar with that commercial that In-N-Out has. Says, there's the gift that keeps on giving. What is it, that gift that keeps on giving? And we all know what that is. If we could package it, what would it look like? You know, I still think of what could we put in there that represents Christmas? But isn't that just like secularism and what Christmas has become is what we can put in a box? You gotta think outside the box. You know, is it a family picture? Is it a Christmas tree? You know, you can, whatever, in the back of your memory, maybe it's that fond memory that we have of what Christmas is. And I know we celebrate Christmas as a point in time when Christ was born. And I know that we try to say that we celebrate the birth of Christ. But do we really celebrate the birth of Christ on Christmas Day? When I celebrate my birthday, people bring me gifts. People come to me. But are we supposed to give gifts to Christ? I know the wise men brought gifts to the child, but how did that shift for us to giving and receiving gifts to one another? For I'm going to assume, maybe I shouldn't, but that we have all received Christ, the ultimate gift. It seems to be one of those years that just seems to be off this year. Like there's been some side of like this oppression or something. And I kind of have this heaviness that seems like throughout the year that the Heavenly Father's been dealing with me. And but not only that, but it seems like other people have been going through the same type of thing. Different things, but like the Lord's working on it. A lot of people at the same time. So I thought today we would just look at what gift did God give us? And what benefits do we have in Christ as our gift? Not going to focus really on the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we all understand that God is most gracious in His giving. And if you just want to do a word study on gift through the Bible, it is massive. So this is just going to be a touch of the iceberg here. Christmas is so much more that we can't just hear it all on just one Sunday. I just wanted to point out some scriptures to remind us of the gracious gift of our Lord. One of my favorite Christmas stories is Charles Dickens in The Christmas Carol. And I was hoping to kind of point out and kind of format in that we have a kind of a Christmas past, a Christmas present, and a Christmas future. But it seems like that all the passages that I look at would either always have like the past and future built in, or the past, present, and future built in on there. So I didn't kind of go there, but I'll kind of point some of those things out as we go. But first of all, I just kind of go, what is the definition of a gift? And I like the 1828 version, or whatever the version is, Noah Webster presents. It's a gift is a present, anything given or bestowed, anything the property of which a voluntary transfer by one person to another without compensation. And I know that when you receive a gift, it kind of depends on how you receive it. So I don't know about you, but when you receive a gift, do you sometimes feel obligated to give back? Or if the gift is so valuable, do you feel unworthy? Or when you give someone something that person who receives it doesn't take care of it, does it upset you? I see that a lot at work in my field. When someone doesn't pay for it with their own money, the value is not appreciated. There are a lot of people who will buy their maid a vacuum cleaner but don't want to pay too much of it because they know they're going to break it. Isn't that true? But do we value the gifts we receive, and how thankful are we? How we treat our gifts, how we view the people receiving our gift, I was contemplating it and reflecting that, of who I treat the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ. And I hope we're all here are in agreement that Christ is the ultimate gift. So today is just a reminder, I want to go through some scripture, the reason for the season. Here is that point in time, the time from the past. Luke 1:35 says, "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" Kind of remember that, the Son of God. And Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." It's that point in time. Jesus was born. This is a point in time, a historical point. So why not celebrate? Celebrate it because it is a promise from God being fulfilled. A promise that started from Genesis chapter 3. And all the promises and prophecies throughout the Old Testament that points to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the most famous of all verse, which we were quoted earlier by the young ones, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he" what? "He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." This is past, present, and future, but I place this verse for the past because we all had a point in time where we believed. We call that salvation. This is a point in time where we realize the life and death issues. That man doesn't die like an animal. Death doesn't end man's existence. The soul and spirit survive the body. We understand there is no power strong enough to change human nature. That has been affected by the devastation of the fall. Except that of the transforming power of Christ, allowing us to understand the grace of God. A point in time when we know facts about Christ, his deity, his death, his resurrection, and our need for him, leading to repentance. Paul sums it up in Acts 16:31 and says, "And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" Salvation, what a gift. What does salvation look like? Can we put it in a box? We are saved and we are justified. I have heard the definition of justification as just as if I have never sinned. But you know, it's more than that. Look at what it says in Romans 3:21. "But now the righteous of God has been manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are just by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation as His blood to receive by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Justification is more than just as if we've never sinned. When God forgave our sins, it doesn't make us neutral or now starting with a blank slate. We're not just spiritual zeros. He sees us in Christ, having His perfect righteousness. Justification has to do with our standing before God. It's objective. It does not make one personally righteous, but declares him righteous in a legal sense, and brings him into a right relationship with God. Paul makes the point that no one can be justified by the law. The law makes us conscious of our sin. Rather, we are justified by the gift of God, by His grace through Jesus Christ. It is a gift we have all received. So here's a transitional verse from past to present. John 1, 9-13 says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And in Ephesians 1, 3-5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will." Romans 8:15 through 17 says, "For you did not receive the gift of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him." I know this has some future in it as well, but presently we are talking about the children of God. Do you ever think of yourself as a child of God? That is not the title to take lightly. You get to call God Daddy. A dad who will never condemn you. Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. What a gift. You know, that's a gift worth re-gifting. Not only did your Father in heaven forgive us of our past sins, but He forgives us of our present and future sins. Colossians 1, 12-14. "So giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." Acts 13:38-39, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." Forgiveness of sins is plural, which is another gift worth re-giving. We have a Father who is merciful and doesn't use our shortcomings against us. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." But we do have a Father who loves us so much that He will discipline us. And you might think this is a part of the gift you don't want. But listen to the last line of this verse. Hebrews 12:5-11 says, "And you have and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then are all illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had an earthly father who disciplines us, and we respect him. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we are not condemned, but we are disciplined. But think about that. Discipline is far better than being condemned. You might be one who is going through some disciplinary action by our Heavenly Father as we speak. But let me remind you of the benefit of being a Christian. Romans 8:34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised. Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. What a gift. Christ is praying for us. Praying for you. Another gift worth re-gifting. When you first become a Christian, you don't know all the benefits. Matter of fact, we are continually learning. If there is one thing we all have in common, is the feeling of the burden of guilt and shame being lifted when you first come to Christ. But that feeling sometimes leaves us, and we begin to doubt, or whatever. And that is why it is good to hear these things over and over. The feelings are good, but the fact is that you always don't have to feel forgiven to be forgiven. One of the things that I have to constantly remind myself is 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away before the new has come. Not only do I have to remind myself that this is true for me, but also I have to remind myself that the fact is regarding new believers as well, especially the ones that you have a history with. But here again, what a gift. We are a new creation. Can you grasp that? That sets you apart from all other creations. This describes something that is created at a qualitative new level of excellence. It refers to regeneration or the new birth. This expression encompasses the Christian's forgiveness of sins paid for in Christ's substitutionary death. And the old things have passed away. After a person is regenerated, old value systems, priorities, beliefs, loves, and plans are gone. Evil and sin are still present, but the believer sees them in a new perspective, and they are no longer controlling him. A new creation means that you actually have a new heart. Ezekiel 11:19 says, and I will give them one heart, a new spirit, and I will put within them, I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. So not only are you justified, you are forgiven, you are a child of God, you are loved and disciplined by our Heavenly Father, Jesus is praying for you, and I might add perfectly, you are a new creation, and all of these gifts are found in Christ Jesus and can never, ever be taken away. John 10:27-29 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So you have the gift of security. That's forever. So forever is a good gift. If you are in Christ Jesus, it's not a good gift if you have not received that gift. Which means that forever, your needs will be met. Philippians 4:19 says, And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And sometimes a need can be re-gifted. Here's another privilege of being a child of God. Some gifts you can ask for, like the ones found in James 1:5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If I asked you to give me wisdom, could you? I know you can teach me many things. And I guess you could teach me to fear God. But wisdom is pretty remarkable. How about the gift of grace? How much can you say about grace? Grace. How would you wrap up grace and give it to somebody? What does grace look like? I can think of some people that are very gracious, but one of my favorite things to meditate on is the grace of God. God gives the humble grace, James 4:6, but He gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When I think about grace and the grace of God has granted us, it boggles the mind. And when you might come to a slight understanding of what the grace of God is, you might come across a passage of Scripture that throws you for a loop, like the one found in 1 John 1:16. It says, "And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Grace upon grace. Makes you want to break out in praise. Well, I've only scratched some of the blessings that we have in Christ. Well, there is one more, a future gift in Christ, a promise that we also will be glorified. Romans 8:30 says, "And those whom He predestined, He also called," which is past. "And those whom He called, He justified," which is past and present. "And those whom He justified, He also glorified," future. Actually sums up the past, present, and future pretty well. But it is the reason for the season. It's all about Jesus Christ. What a blessing we have. I often think about how we react to gifts. And it's okay to give and receive gifts as long as you are grateful for it. Like it says in Timothy 4:4, it says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." And of course, there's Ecclesiastes 3:13, which says, "Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man." So go ahead and enjoy Christmas. But remember, James 1:17 says, "Every good gift, every perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Jesus is really the only good and perfect gift, isn't He? When we receive a gift, one that you may expect, or even goes beyond expectations, we are often surprised. We might even think, "Wow, that person really loves me." And if it is really nice, we boast about it. Might be a new car, jewelry, a new gadget. I was thinking about boasting, and I know there's a description. I can't think of the Greek term in it, but I know it's Jehovah, our banner. And how, why don't we wave that banner? Who we are. We're children of God. Proud of it. I remember in the 70s, I think there was that movement that went around when there was just one way, and bumper stickers with the hand like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember driving, I think I was even driving a Fritz and Trisha's car. I was a passenger. You just do that because you see the bumper and people would honk. You know, it's like, there's only one way. There's only one way. It's Jesus Christ, one way. You know, there's just this freedom to say about that. And then I'm like thinking too about in the news just recently with the guy from Duck Dynasty being persecuted for just speaking the truth. You know, and how relativism has just kind of wrapped up into our own thinking. Am I really afraid? Are we ashamed of the gospel? Think of that gift. But all those things that we might get in a box this Christmas day or something like that, you know, they might be obsolete in a couple of days. They might fade. They might break. They might get lost. But Jesus Christ won't. He is that perfect gift. For He is the gift, the perfect gift. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." So let's celebrate. Amen.
Amen.